I forgot which one of y'all said it last week, but you hit the nail on the head. You know, we were so hyped up for this year, and everybody and the brothers telling us how we're going to the Super Bowl, we're going to have the best defense the Saints have ever seen. And, you know, even though we've won or we've lost by, like, what, a combined 5 points over the last two games, it feels like you've gotten a nut shot every time.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, I said that. Anything intelligent or smart that comes from the show, mainly, or in-depth, kind of comes from me. These two guys, I don't, you know.
What's up, Houdat Nation, and thanks for joining us on the Dome Patrol podcast. I'm your host, Jeff. My drunk scale rating's a big, fat zero again. Still battling this cold, trying to save my voice for the show, but this will be a good thing. I'm not going to talk that much tonight because we have a special guest with us, and we're going to give him a chance. You'll learn who that is after I read this. Welcome to part two of this week's episode. We hope the longer game recap episode earlier this week helped you get over the horrendous start to the season. And just like Cam Jordan tweeted this morning, which we're recording on a Tuesday, that our 24 hours of grieving is over, and it's time to focus 100% on the future, the next game, which is the Minnesota Vikings. With that in mind, put your seatbelts on, keep your hands and legs inside your earbuds at all times, and enjoy the show. Jason, welcome to the show. What's your number?
It's another low number, but it is a number. I felt like I had to at least give a little something. Kind of represents home, just at a, I don't know, 1.5.
All right, what do you got there? Something with ice?
Just getting a little bourbon and water. Just a drink for the show, but after this, some.
Yeah. You mind drinking away from the microphone, then?
I'm not the one drinking, bitch.
Oh, that's the other guy. Who? We'll find out after we introduce Damon. Welcome to the show. Any number?
Thank you. Yes.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, I'm going to say I'm on the verge of being drunk.
What? Why?
Like a 3.5.
You're not on call?
No, today's... No, I'm not on Tuesday. No, I just went out to dinner and had a couple of drinks. And
get out of here.
A couple of margaritas. I like margaritas.
Oh, I might have to pour a drink. You know what? I will.
It's almost like you feel like you have to.
I know. I gotta have something. Let me pour a little sake. I got a little sake in the fridge.
Oh, yeah. I'm definitely very, very mellow.
All right. Good. Well, you weren't... Sunday night. But let's welcome our guest. And while you introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about yourself, I'll pour myself a sake. This is, you heard about him from tweets from the Twitter thing, we got Craig from Baltimore. Welcome to the show. What's your number?
Hey, Houdat Nation. My number is a 2.11. Not quite there, but not quite not there. But I got to tell you, I'm very excited to be on the show where I think this is the first time Damon's ever had a number on the show, besides one of the ones that followed again. Very excited.
Yeah, it's been about a year, year and a half that I've had a number.
I'm very excited to be a part of it. But as they said, my name is Craig. I'm in Baltimore, Maryland. I am a native of Metairie, Louisiana, and family is all still down there. We're kind of like the black sheep, I guess, except for my brother in Houston. He's a blacker sheep. And... it's a good opportunity to be invited to come on with the Houdats, and I really appreciate the opportunity.
Craig, we know you're from Twitter. Can you give us your Twitter handle?
BMore_Houdat.
Okay.
And the BMore is Baltimore slang for Baltimore.
Yeah.
That way some of our followers can follow you now.
Well, I think you can find somebody by their name. I could just type in Craig in Baltimore, and it'll find him that way, too.
Really? Is he the only Craig in Baltimore? Would you trust him like that?
He actually is.
We did a poll.
Okay. He is the only Craig in Baltimore, according to Twitter.
I mean, if I did Jason in Metairie, you think I'm going to come up with
No, it's what he names himself on Twitter. If you use Twitter, you would know.
I don't need Twitter.
Okay, then you don't need to have an opinion on it either.
Anything interesting happens, y'all will pass it on to me for text messages.
That's Twitter for Damon. All right. So, Craig, we're going to run you through the Get to Know Our Fans piece, the gauntlet here. How did you become a Saints fan?
I've been a Saints fan since the day I was born. I still have a little jersey I had when I was about 2 years old. It's black, white. I think it was number 88. I don't even know who that was back then. There was no name on it. But all the way back from the beginning, I was a Saints fan.
Yeah, so you've been through a lot more dark years than we have.
Oh, since went through the Archie Manning years. Of course, I don't remember much of them because I was still in diapers, but all the way through. And the Bobby Hebert years were kind of my golden age when we first won our first playoff game. And this is Lanyap. This is Lanyap.
Well, especially with the Super Bowl in tow.
Oh, absolutely.
So you've been waiting your whole life for that.
I had an opportunity to go to the Super Bowl, too. My cousin had tickets, and we were up in Baltimore, and I had to let him know by Wednesday. We had a snowstorm come in the week before, and we had one that was supposed to come in that Friday. And I said, look, I want to do it. But I'm afraid that I can eat a $300 hotel bill. I can't eat a $2,000 ticket, you know, if I can't go.
Yeah.
You know, 50-cent ticket hanging on my wall wouldn't be too good. So I ended up not going. It was good because the airport was closed until Sunday afternoon, so I wouldn't have made it.
So you wouldn't, yeah.
I wouldn't have made it. But, you know, that's a big regret right there. You never have a first one.
I know the feeling. I had the same opportunity to go, and I didn't go because I just wanted to be in New Orleans when it happened, and you know, I do kind of regret not going.
I do believe we'll have a second one, Jason. I don't know when it's going to be, but I believe we're going to have a second one, so we'll just be there for that one. We'll second line it.
Ha! I see what he did there.
It's better than fucking Tudat.
I like Tudat.
Okay, you would. You would like
Of course
Tudat.
I did. Well, all right, so Craig, who's your favorite player from yesteryear? You can't choose the Sean Payton era.
All right, from yesteryear... Oh, I love Reuben Mays.
Mm.
I don't know if you remember him. It just seemed like every other week he was tiptoeing down the sideline for a scamper for a touchdown. Just unbelievable. Yeah. And the other one was Ironhead Hayward.
Yeah.
Love him. I remember being in the Dome for one of the games, and everybody's just yelling, give me head, give me head. It was great.
My favorite play from Ironhead Hayward, you know, I was young too. My dad took me to a Saints game. It was a Falcons game, and we were in the end zone on the bottom level, and there was a play. You're watching it from behind the Saints, so you're getting the offense's view from it, and Ironhead Hayward gets the ball, and, I mean, Falcons were bouncing off of him. He was dragging them, and, you know, he might have got like 12 yards on the carry, but it was the greatest 12 yards I've ever seen.
He was awesome. Who's that fellow that played for the Giants maybe 2 years ago, 3 years ago? Big fellow that reminded me of him. What was his name?
Jacobs?
Ron Dane?
No.
Brandon Jacobs.
Brandon Jacobs. And he's from around here. I think he's...
Yeah, like Ascension, something like that.
Oh, that's pretty wild. Yeah, he reminded me a lot of, well, not as good and still alive, but he reminded me of Craig Hayward.
Still alive.
Well, yeah.
Did he have a cocaine problem?
Well, he may have.
You know, one of the things, you know, you bring up Reuben Mays, and Reuben Mays is an often overlooked past Saint. In 86, he was the Offensive Rookie of the Year for running backs. Don't ask me what he ran for, but in the late 80s, but Mays and Dalton Hilliard was, I mean, one hell of a 1-2 punch for Jim Moore and really helped us win a lot of games. Now, I forget what year it was, but it was early on, his second or third year, he started building up injuries.
I guess we ask everybody this. Aaron Brooks, does he deserve to be in the Ring of Honor? You've heard us debate.
Yeah, I know. Hall of Fame, yes. Ring of Honor, no.
Okay.
Now, you're hurting Jason's feeling when you say that.
I know, and I don't mean to, Jason, but... You know, his record reflects, you know, Saints Hall of Fame. Ring of Honor are just, you know, but see, I also think Bobby Hebert should be in the Ring of Honor.
Exactly. Look at this.
That's where we differ.
This is a smart guy right here, finally. All these nudniks y'all been bringing on, you know.
that's the sins of youth right there.
Finally, someone who knows what he's talking about. We got a genius, a football guy here. Good.
Yeah,
I'll dance at your wedding.
There you go. Well, Craig, I want to ask you something.
Yes, sir.
The three of us, you know, we're born here, we're raised here, we're probably going to die here. But you being a Saints fan out in enemy territory, what is your experience with that? And how has it changed since Katrina, then 2009, and then up to today?
Well, before Katrina, you know, people really didn't give you a lot of grief for being a Saints fan because, you know, the Saints weren't doing too much of anything. So you weren't really a threat to anybody, and you were kind of like the that little stepson. They pat you on the head and say, that's a good little football team you got. And, you know, after Katrina, everybody started to feel sorry for you, you know. And, of course, all my family's down in Louisiana and Gulf Coast, Mississippi. So, you know, they were all there when we were trying to get a hold of my grandfather, see how he was doing. He was in Bay St. Louis, you know, trying to get a hold of my aunt and uncle. So they all really, really got behind the Saints during that next season, which, you know, was awful. But they really got the love of a lot of folks around here. Now, I'll tell you, in Baltimore, there were the Baltimore Stallions of the USFL. And I think there was a connection between them and Jim Mora at one time. And so a lot of people around here remember Jim Mora. And because they remember Jim Mora, and this was after the NFL allowed the Colts to leave Baltimore back in the 80s, you know, a lot of people looked to the NFL, looked to the Baltimore Stallions, and remember Jim Mora. And when Jim Mora went to the Saints, a lot of those folks followed the Saints after that, which was interesting. And, of course, once 2009 came and we beat the Colts in the Super Bowl, everybody in Baltimore was rooting for the Saints, by the way, because they can't stand the Indianapolis Colts.
So how do they feel now? Like now that all that dust has settled, is it just kind of based? Is the respect there that the Saints, you know, even though we're 0-2, they're like, you know what, you guys are 0-2, but that doesn't reflect the reality.
Well, right now, that's the consensus of a lot of folks around here. But I will tell you though that the love that they had for Saints took a slight hit during Bountygate.
They took the NFL side.
Well, right. They didn't take the NFL side. They said, we don't believe what the NFL is putting out, but we also don't believe that there was nothing there. But when you have an educated football fan, they will tell you straight up, they say, we understand the difference between pay for performance and a bounty, okay? If that's in fact what they were doing. You know, you get a sack, we'll give you $5,000, whatever, you know. You get an interception, we'll give you $10,000. So they understand what the difference is between pay for performance, because that's all in their contract anyway. So you do a little bit on the side, they understand that happens. And they also, a lot of people also understood that, you know, out of 32 teams in the NFL, to come down on the Saints like that, like it's not happening anywhere else, they thought was kind of hypocritical.
So everybody's over that now, though, and now they fear us, respectively.
Oh. Everybody knows the Saints are a good run organization.
Yeah, they do, and they fear our offense. Let's put it that way.
I mean, think about it. We do play the Ravens this year.
Yeah,
we do.
The only team Drew Brees and Sean Payton have not beat, the Baltimore Ravens.
But it's in the dome this year.
It's in the dome this year.
I think we're gonna do well.
God, that's almost crazy now that I think about it. We're so far into this era that, like, I remember the first time Payton and Brees played the Ravens, and it was in the dome, and we lost. I think it was a night game, Sunday night, Monday night, whatever. But then I went to the Baltimore game in 10 in Baltimore.
I wish I'd known.
It was that was the first year we did the show. But yeah, my buddy had his bachelor party up there. We went to the game. So even though again we lost, so I'm 0-2 watching the Saints play Baltimore.
Yeah, I think you should go out for dinner that day. Don't watch it. Just listen to your tweets.
I'll sell my ticket. Don't jinx it.
I'll buy you.
Is that a Monday night game?
It is a Monday night game. The Monday right before Thanksgiving.
All right. Well, there you go. Great to get you finally on, Craig. We've had a great time tweeting back and forth to each other. You're our biggest tweets from the Twitter thing. So we're not going to have a tweets from the Twitter thing tonight because we have the tweet from the Twitter thing on the show.
I think that's a compliment.
Yeah, I think it is. It's now time for Saints Headlines.
Hello, I'm Kent Brockman, and this is Eye on Springfield.
All right, our first headline is earlier today, the Hall of Fame nominees were announced. It includes holdover Morton Anderson and LSU standout Kevin Mawai.
Unfortunately for Morton, you know, last year Ray Guy went in. And with Ray Guy going in, that has opened the door for special teamers to get in. Now, it's my belief it has not kicked open the door where a flood of them will get in, but they will get in eventually.
That was a cool pun.
You like that? So I think it'll be another 4 to 10 years or 5 to 10 years before they actually put Morton in the Hall of Fame. I hope I'm wrong.
Who else is in the – has anybody seen the list?
I don't know. You're the one who brought it up.
Well, it depends on who's getting it.
Like Jeff ain't – like don't get it from Jeff. Is that what you're saying?
Right. I'm getting it from WWL TV.
Oh.
If the guy's username is Swizzlestick, it's probably not reliable.
there was 113 nominees announced.
Jeez.
Oh, wow. Okay. Was my name in there?
Yeah. I guess that's how I got in there.
Remember, Damon, you officially retired last week, so you got the 5 weeks.
Oh,
I had to
play 5 weeks.
Because no one called you. Anyway.
Oh, you talked yourself through that one?
I would go with, since we asked the question earlier, Morton Anderson, Saints Ring of Honor.
Oh, 100%.
Mm-hmm.
I think so, for sure.
Yeah, locked.
Absolutely.
Ahead of Bobby.
Well,
yeah,
let me ask you a quick
Bobby,
question.
Yeah.
Everybody loves Morton Anderson, right?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Not
as much as Jason loves Aaron Brooks, but yes, we all like Morton Anderson.
Well, that's an unconditional love right there.
But,
I can't help it.
But everybody loves Morton Anderson. People are still torqued off with Bobby going to Atlanta. But didn't Morton Anderson do the same thing?
Here's the thing. The Saints, stupidly, and if you ask Jim Mora or, you know, they released Morton Anderson because they thought they could sign him to a cheaper deal. They released him. He was under contract. He was coming to play, and they tore up his contract and wanted to renegotiate. He was high. He had a high number. He had $1 million. Jim Finks, the GM at the time, thought that was ridiculous to pay a kicker. Jim Finks wasn't very good at the whole free agency thing anyway. He was old school. And so I can remember the day it happened. I was swimming in my pool on a Monday, and it was announced Morton Anderson cut the Saints. And so I've heard Jim Morris say the story. We thought we were going to call him up, work out a new deal, get it done, boom. And Atlanta called and offered him the cash, and Morton said, thank you.
All right, I'm going to put my lawyer hat on for a minute.
Okay.
It makes it different because the Saints decided that they wanted to negotiate a lower contract for Morton, but Bobby decided he wanted a bigger contract. It was going to test the open market.
He's full of shit.
Right.
It's almost the same thing because
you're right. It technically is, but technically don't mean crap. You know.
Technically.
I mean, you are right. No, I mean you. You are correct. It is the same thing, but we messed up on Morton. He didn't necessarily want to leave. We kind of pushed him out the door. I mean, I think that's how people look at it.
You kind of don't blame the guy for kind of shopping out there because of that, right?
Especially when you're a kicker.
The same thing could be said about Bobby. But I think why people really, my opinion is when Bobby came back and he flew off the field. We all know Bobby Hebert doing the flying off the field.
Oh,
right?
Yeah, a little airplane.
Yeah. I think that everybody still kind of – a lot of people still have that in their background.
Now, can I tell you a quick story?
Sure.
We met Bobby Hebert up at the Greenbrier, my wife and I.
Did you throw chicken wings at him?
No. He sat down and had a drink with us. Yeah, I've never heard a quarterback curse so much. But he was a down-to-earth guy, and he's trying to remember certain stuff, and he's saying, Craig, I don't remember this. He goes, you know, I had 9 concussions. I can't remember shit. So, but this was my idol, you know. We went into that restaurant, and I was wearing my number 3 throwback jersey.
Oh, good.
And he wanted to make sure it wasn't Morstead or something, so he turned me around to make sure the name was right. But I tell you what, if you want to sit down and have a drink and shoot the shit and talk about football, I'll even tell you a story he told us. Well, and maybe you'll cut it out because – I'll have to go check and make sure I don't get sued. But he was talking about They were at this quarterbacks meeting in Washington, D.C., and this was in the 80s, and he was hanging out with and was drunk off his ass. And his wife was pregnant at the time, and his wife said, "Hey, let's go back to the hotel. I'm getting tired." And he goes, "Ah, you go. I'm going to stay here and drink." And she said, "No, I'm really tired." He said, "Look, bitch, go back to the hotel. Can't you see I'm working?" And Bobby, just being, you know, from Cutoff, he's going, "What?" You know, because if he ever talked to his wife would whip his ass like that. So, you know, but he said, you know, I didn't know that he went to BYU, a good Catholic boy at a Mormon university. And somebody asked him at the other table, "Well, what did he do down there? I mean, he didn't fit in with the culture." He goes, "He just sat in his room and smoked pot all day." So I said, "Okay, thanks, Bobby."
Marijuana.
Well, I guess he didn't like you after all. He just smelled your narcotics. Buck 'em, boys.
Hold on, Chief. It might be medicinal.
Oh, yeah, medicinal. Without it, I could go even blinder. Right?
You might want to beep some names out.
That'd be funny.
Yeah. Or like somehow substitute him with just random names.
Oh, that'd be funny.
I was at the bar with Charlie.
Throw him out with Twitter names.
Two.
I was at the bar with Craig in Baltimore.
So he's looking over, and his wife at Swizzle Stick said.
Anyway, they were very personable. They were much more personable than Deke was.
See, Deke's a fucking dick, man. Deke's got that little arrogant strut about him.
He's got a Fu Manchu going now, too.
It was ever since the Buddy D dress, you know, the dress parade, when everybody's in the dress, but no, Deke's too cool for school, has to wear a Saints uniform, can't wear a dress.
Right. Anybody listen to our program, if you ever see Deke Bellavia, tell him to go fuck himself.
All right, moving on to the next headline. Drew Brees Sunday, if we can take anything good out of the game, he did pass John Elway for the NFL's all-time passing yards. I don't really know that warrants a large conversation, but just it is a headline. It did happen. And it's worth noting.
Well, congratulations.
Consider it noted.
Okay. Yay.
All right, next headline. Well, and I will say, it's going to be, it's kind of like a the passing of a comet. It's going to be a long time before he does that again because he's 10,000 yards behind Dan Marino.
Oh, he better get
on it.
Yeah. Yeah. There have been good things to take away from the last two games, but that's not one of them.
Yes, it is. He's number four on the all-time passing list. That's good.
Okay.
So are we talking about takeaways from the game?
No, we just reading the headlines there.
Okay.
The Cleveland did a big takeaway that cost us the game. We're not going to talk about that. See what it did there? All right, next headline. Mark Ingram is out for at least a month with a hand injury. Could that explain why we saw a lot of Kyrie Robinson in the second half of the game and or why, to Damon's chagrin, we weren't running the ball enough?
Ingram still played in the second half.
And he caught balls, too, in the second half, didn't he?
Mm-hmm. He made some nifty moves in the second half.
He did.
How did he hurt his hand?
Can I be a conspiracy theorist?
Sure.
Do you think he punched the wall on the way into the locker room? Listen, if you broke your hand in the first half, you know, they say that you're okay as long as the swelling doesn't set in. And Damon, maybe you can help out with this. But if you sit down for 20 minutes during halftime, isn't there a better chance that the swelling's going to come in? And how are you going to make some of those catches?
And you're asking Damon not because he's a medical expert, but because he's punched a lot of walls.
That's correct. I heard about his prowess as a fighter.
I like you. I don't know whether to knock you on your kisser or kiss you on your knockers.
I don't know whether to peck you on the kisser or kiss you on the...
You shall have your lipo.
I mean, I'm not a doctor, but I'm sure there's some kind of anesthetic they can put in the hand.
Yeah, it's fucking sucks, man, because he was playing well. He was playing so well, he's finally playing like we all thought he would, and then this shit.
Yeah, he had some nice runs in Cleveland. He was looking nice.
Really, he's played fantastic so far.
Yeah. He has, although I do have faith in Kyrie Robinson and Pierre Thomas, too, that where I don't think we should see a drop in production.
I mean, I'm comfortable in Pierre and Kyrie, but with the way Ingram's playing, man, I'm building a lot of faith in him.
What about Cadet?
Yeah. He's going to have to get some snaps.
Haven't you seen that wonderful return game we have?
Yeah. He gets like 10 yards of return every time. Now, the good thing is they said it's, 4 weeks, maybe 5 weeks. We have our bye. We have 3 games and then a bye. So if it's just 3 games, I can live with it if he can come back after that. Yeah. Hopefully so.
You making a new drink there?
Yes, sir. Sorry.
Nice. That's all right.
It's a nice blend of now this is for the health conscious. It's a nice blend of Crystal Light, lemonade, and red licorice vodka.
Ooh.
It's very nice.
Ew.
64 calories. No, red it's actually licorice. Pretty good. It's actually, well, it used to be Swedish Fish, but I guess the license was revoked or whatever.
Oh, yeah. All right. That does, let's warrant a Dome Patrol checkpoint.
Do you realize how fast you were going, sir?
Yes, I do. And there is an explanation for that. First of all, let me start off by saying
I've been drinking some sake in honor of Damon drinking and Craig being on the show, so I've probably moved up to at least a 1, maybe a 2 almost.
I'm going to bump up because even though I said I was only having the one show drink, I went ahead and made a second one, so I'm probably at a 2.4.
Well, I haven't drinking since we've been on the show, but I'm...
So he's gotten worse, so he's just going down.
I think Damon's lied to us. I don't think he's had anything to drink. I think he's been zero since we started.
Mm.
Is it Roger Goodell over there? Fucking liar?
Hashtag fire Goodell.
So what's your number then, Damon?
I thought the 3 last time. I'll say a 2.5 this time.
Okay. And Craig, what's your number?
About a 4.
A 4. All right. So we're going to have a nice little conversation in NFL Reach Around. Let me try and figure out where we're going to start here. I mean, it's really
plenty of options.
Yeah, it's really going to be this like amorphous blob of conversation. So let me just put it all out on the table and y'all take it where you want to take it. I'm just going to say names like Ray Rice, Adrian Peterson, Greg Brady, Roger Goodell, violence in the NFL versus violence in real life, where in 2012, Roger Goodell said that there's no place for violence in the NFL by suspending the Saints.
Dumbass.
And now there's no place for violence in real life, which there should never have been. But go ahead, talk about all the hypocrisies and the wonderful exposure. But I think the main reason we wanted you, Craig, on the show is because you're in Baltimore.
Oh, I am.
And you're the closest person to the Ray Rice situation.
I'm at ground zero.
So Jason, what was your question? Like, what do the people of Baltimore feel about this?
Well, I know I saw the pictures of the not only regular like guys and women fans at the Ravens game Thursday, all wearing Ray Rice jerseys.
This is crazy because you listen to the local news and they are falling over themselves to throw Ray Rice into the seventh layer of hell for what he did. You know, because domestic violence is bad, et cetera, et cetera. And I'm not saying it's good, so don't get me wrong there. But what I'm saying is everybody's fawning over themselves to vilify this guy. And I think one of the things that I put – I don't know if I put it on Facebook or if I put it on Twitter. But one of the things I said was, you knew that he hit her. You saw him dragging her lifeless body out of the elevator, okay? What kind of ass are you that you lack the imagination to know how hard he hit her, all right? So – That's the news media here. The news media here is, we should probably burn him at the stake, okay? The fans have a different take, and I think actually this is a pretty good take on it. You have Ray Rice. Ray Rice goes through, April, May, June, has a little court thing, and the NFL comes out and says, okay, we're going to suspend you for 2 games. And everybody's like, well, what? 2 games? That's not enough. So then the NFL comes out and says, we have a new domestic policy or domestic violence policy. And this domestic violence policy says your first offense is going to get 6 games and your second offense is you're going to be suspended indefinitely. Okay. So then the video comes out And all of a sudden, Ray Rice skips from two games to indefinitely. Mm. And people around Baltimore is going, whoa, whoa, where's the six games?
Yeah.
You know? You didn't even follow your own fucking criteria.
That you made it like 2 weeks ago.
Which, by the way, is a pattern for Roger Goodell. I mean, you know, Saints fans know that they're not hearing anything different. This is eye-opening for Baltimore. But for the Saints fans, you know, they've
welcome
always
to
had
the
to
club.
Decide. Yeah, exactly.
Hey, Baltimore, welcome to the club. There's a support group for this. We meet at the bar on Tuesday night.
Well, and I will tell you, Baltimore, out of most NFL cities, you know, they had a little bit of a raised eyebrow toward us with the bounty, but they knew how the NFL operated because the NFL allowed them to be teamless for so many years. What was it, like 12 years or something like that, you know? They allowed them to be teamless for so many years and kept screwing them over, wouldn't give them a team, you know? And then they let the Cleveland Browns move here, but the Cleveland Browns were able to keep their colors and their name and their history and their records in Cleveland, but Baltimore wasn't able to do that with the Colts. And that's what really torques these folks. So what they're saying is, okay, let me get this right. You smoke pot, we're going to get you out for six games. All right? You hit somebody, we're going to go two games. No, wait. I think we might make it six games. No. Indefinitely, because we saw the video, and a punch looks a little bit realer on video than it does in conversation. So people are a little torqued about that. But not only are they torqued about that, they're torqued about McDonald in San Francisco. They're torqued about Adrian Peterson. They're torqued about, what's his name, Hardy down in Carolina.
Hardy, yeah. It's amazing that Hardy's still playing.
but see, this is the point, okay? If you're going to have a league-wide policy on this, it needs to be applied league-wide. And they're not doing that. They're letting the individual teams do it. And if you leave it up to the individual teams, what are they going to say? They're going to say, we'll wait until the results come out.
What was Ron Rivera's plan? Nothing.
Well, he has no – it's not his choice. It's the GM. It's the GM and ownership.
I understand,
Carolina.
But until they took the heat Sunday morning, they were going to let him play. It was announced like 40 minutes before the game. Oh, we've decided to deactivate him.
But that's
because ESPN spent all morning talking about this instead of football.
Well, that's a conversation for another segment, let me tell you. But the fact is that the NFL is not being consistent. And I think that has more people pissed off here, just like it did with New Orleans back in, you know, what was it, 2012?
You've been saying it for years. Nobody wanted to listen. Yeah. The only way people are going to listen is after a woman gets punched in the face.
Well, look, think about it. All these other fans of other teams, if it doesn't happen to your team, why do you give a shit?
Well, see, that's the thing is you don't give a shit until it happens to you, you know? Mm-hmm. And you've got – This indictment for Adrian Peterson was so huge that they had to keep him out of last week's game. But now it's not as huge when they're one and one.
Right, like other than like what changed in 3 days?
Well, their record.
Well, and okay, so that leads me to a situation I want to pose here. So let me get this straight. Ray Rice, the indefinite suspension because he had a woman. Adrian Peterson has been indicted, proven by law. Because didn't Roger Goodell say
let me put my legal hat on real quick.
Right.
You can indict a ham sandwich. Okay. The threshold to overcome for an indictment is so low, it would make you cry.
You're right, but there's a photographic evidence, and which is enough to liken it the same as Ray.
Well, and I think
Adrian Peterson also admit to doing it.
You hit the nail on the head, Jeff. You hit it right there, because the only thing that opened people's eyes was the video of Ray Rice, and now you have photographs of this 4-year-old child 1 week after it happened. You know, and people are going, what's going on? And the league is leaving it up to the individual team what they want to do until, you know, everything is, you know, adjudicated and blah, blah, blah.
So, but wait, why do you wait for the law for Adrian Peterson when you didn't wait for the law for Ray Rice and you certainly didn't wait for the law for the Saints? And even though there are levels of severity, I think the Saints on comparison to all this is way lower severity because it's men paying for performance or bounty on other men playing the game. Whereas Ray Rice is a man hitting a woman. Here you have, to me, beating a child, and I'm not going to go as far as to call Adrian Peterson a child abuser, because that suggests repeat offenses, although there was a report that came out today that said that this is not the first time that he's beat a four-year-old to this point. But I can't substantiate that, so let's not allow that to go further. I think this was an isolated incident for what we're talking about, but a four-year-old versus a grown woman, I think it is a lot more severe to beat a child. At least a woman is an adult and to some degree understands. A child doesn't know that.
And listen, I'm going to totally turn off your women demographic right here, okay? But if you watch the video, she spit in his face and he reactionary clocked her twice, okay? They both, by their own admission, were drinking with another couple and went through two bottles of whiskey or bourbon or whatever. Okay? These people were fucked up. Okay? They didn't know what they were doing. And let me tell you something. I know.
Which is also why he went to the first of the lobby instead of the top floor like Damon suggested.
Exactly. Damon, that was a great escape route, by the way. but what I'm saying is, you know, think about it, okay? How many of us have been so shit-faced that if something happened, you react. You don't think about it. You don't say, well, this is probably not a good idea, and this is probably – no, you say, I have spit hanging off my nose. Anybody who has drank that much and has an aggressive personality anyway, okay? And I think ball players have an aggressive personality. That's what makes them good. If you're having an argument – and spit flies in your face. Look at the video again, how quickly he punched her after getting spit in the face. I think it was reactionary. I think he regrets it. I don't think that – listen, here's the other thing that you might not know. Ray Rice has done so much good in the city of Baltimore. He's done anti-bullying campaigns. He's paid for kids to go to a football camp. Bless you. He has just been – He's been a model
PR
in the city.
Right. So hold on. Just come on, counselor. I'm PR. That's all for PR. And what this video showed is that when you get him away from his handlers, that he is a savage.
You know what, Damon? You might be correct. Because I don't know. I don't know what's in. Hey,
no, exactly.
Who knows what evil lurks in the hearts of men? Only the Shadow knows.
But have you not ever been drunk and done something you regret?
To degrees.
Damon used to get fights all the time, remember?
That's right.
But he might have punched a woman and doesn't even know.
No, but the other question is,
I've always fought men, and I've never thrown the first punch.
Not just that, but have you ever been so drunk, but I've never been so drunk to where I would hit a woman. Like, for whatever reason, I've always been able to control that.
I've never hit a woman. So it's hard to reply to that because I've never hit a woman. I have been so drunk that I probably wanted to. But
Right, but you didn't.
Well, then obviously I was not drunk enough.
No, sir. Because just because you're drunk doesn't mean that you lose who you are. You lose your inhibition.
I totally agree with you. Those people that say I did this and I was drunk and I didn't, bullshit. You know, when you're drunk and you do something, it's only something that you would have done when you're sober, but you know better not to. But you had it in you to do it all. I agree with you 100%.
Exactly. Look, I'm an expert at being drunk. I grew up in South Louisiana. I've drinking more. You know, he had two bottles. I've drinking on two occasions. I'm drinking a 1750 of Bacardi rum, okay?
Mm.
All right. I've been partying the French Quarter, went to look for my car. I had no idea where it was.
You need the new Apple Watch. It'll help you find your car.
Well, you know what? Somehow.
Do you have to blow into the Apple Watch to get your car started?
You have to blow Siri. Or Siri blows you, actually.
Well, I went to one parking lot on Iberville, and they said, you didn't park, you know, you're not here. Made them drive me up and down the lot. Next thing I know, I wake up in my bed. I had found my car and driven home.
So, all right, so we established then consensus. Ray Rice is a bad man who does nice things when he's with his handlers. The question then lies, should he be allowed to play in the NFL ever again?
Yes.
Okay.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Adrian Peterson. Baltimore Ravens didn't have a choice. The NFL suspended Ray Rice. Why is the NFL not suspending Adrian?
Now listen. The Ravens cut Ray Rice before the NFL suspended him.
Okay, that's fine.
Now there may have been collusion.
But why is the NFL not stepping in?
All right. Well, listen, because all right, everybody
unless they
together,
hate children, that's all I can think of.
Everybody together, Roger Goodell is a fuck.
Carnies.
What?
Circus folk. Nomads, you know. Smell like cabbage. Small hands.
So let me bring this back to the Saints, okay? So earlier today, I caught a story. The wife of former Saint Wally Williams. Now, remember Wally Williams?
Nope. Thank you.
He got suspended for drug purposes for a while, and one night he was, I guess, under the influence and fighting with his wife at home about his drug problem. She says she called the NFL liaison that for him and the NFL because he was on a rampage in the house with a baseball bat, hitting walls, doors, and threatening her. The NFL liaison told her not to call the police and that they would handle this, to hang up, calm him down. They're going to call her back to see if everything's okay. And all this is alleged, according to her. And she claims that they never called back and they never did anything. All they really wanted was don't get the police involved. Let's not make this an issue. So the NFL covering up for their players is not new.
I think it's really interesting because I'll tell you, you know, when you go back to 2011, 2012, we all suspected it. We all suspected it. And it's interesting that 2014, you're starting to get a little bit of evidence of this. It's trickling in, you know. But I think the domestic violence issue itself has really put a spotlight on this.
Yeah.
That the NFL, I mean, it's showing what the NFL really cares about.
Everybody's got a price.
So that's enough of that. I'm sure it'll be a topic of conversation for much longer than just this episode, but for now, we're going to move on to Pick'ems.
Time to play the game. Time to play the game!
All right, so, Pick'ems this week. Interesting how it's kind of played out over the course of week two. Jeff, I'll go ahead and dispose with the non-pleasantries. You went 0-5 last week.
Yeah, the spread is really getting to me.
Oh, it makes it real.
Yeah.
Doesn't make it easy anymore. Damon, you didn't do much better. You went 1-4. Your only win was a luck come-from-behind Chicago win against San Francisco. I, on the other hand, went 3-2.
Ooh.
San Diego over Seattle. Had that, they won outright, and had Washington destroying Jacksonville, and I had Chicago. So after 2 weeks, I sit 5-4.
All right, and
so
I will say, based on the players playing at home, Adam is with you, Jason, at the top with 5-4-1.
Fuck it.
Oh, fuck you, Adam.
Fuck Adam.
Neil is in third place, 3-6-1.
Fuck
Damon, Jeff, Todd didn't play this week. Craig, you're with Damon and I at 2-7-1.
Yay! Ooh.
And then pretty much everybody else is under there. All right.
Okay. All right. First game. Battle of the NFC North. The Green Bay Packers at the Detroit Lions. Detroit is actually favored by one, which I think is very interesting. Detroit got beat pretty handily by Carolina last week in Carolina. And then Green Bay was losing for a good portion of the game to the Jets and came back and won the game against the Jets. A lot of people's suicide pools were saved at the end of that game.
How's Detroit's defense this year?
I have not watched 1 second of Detroit football.
I'll tell you, they're better than the Saints.
Thanks, Captain Obvious.
I see what I see.
All right, I'll go ahead and I'm going to go with Green Bay. Actually, Green Bay getting points anywhere. unless it's in Seattle or New Orleans, I'll take it. So I'm going to go with Green Bay.
Yeah, I'm going to take Green Bay also. I mean, they got beat by a good Seattle team opening week, and then Detroit blew it against Carolina.
All right, yeah, I'm going to stay with Green Bay just because I can't afford to fall back into the game. Craig,
you're scared, huh?
You got me.
I'm petrified. I'm taking Green Bay.
Our next game, pretty big game in the old NFC West. The San Francisco 49ers coming off Sunday night loss to Chicago, traveling not very far, but traveling to the Arizona Cardinals.
The undefeated.
Undefeated. Now, they did play a couple of crappy – well, they beat San Diego, which is a good team, but they also went on the road and beat a shitty Giants team. San Francisco is favored by 2.5.
Mm.
Arizona, Carson Palmer is hurt, injured, didn't play last week, so I don't think he's playing this week. So you got Drew Stanton for Arizona.
Who?
Exactly.
All right, I'll go first on this, and I'm going to take San Francisco. Period.
I'll take San Francisco, too.
It's a division game. Yeah, but Palmer not being played, I'm going to go San Francisco.
I'm really contemplating Arizona here.
Do it.
Yeah, fuck it. I got a lead. I'll take it. Why not? Arizona. Arizona's defense is good, man. And they just signed Victor Butler.
He'll play for them next year. That'll be fun.
Well, yeah, that's fine. All right, next game. This is the quote-unquote game of the week of the NFL, the Super Bowl rematch. The Denver Broncos at the Seattle Seahawks. Denver 2-0. Seattle 1-1. This game is in Seattle, and Seattle is favored by 5.
Ooh.
Yeah.
By 5.
I'll start it off, and this might be silly, but I'm going to take getting 5 points, I'll take Denver.
The fact that Seattle was shown that Richard Sherman is vulnerable last week, I'm going to take Denver.
You think Denver's going to take advantage of that?
I think that they're not going to shy away from it.
They also get Wes Welker back this week due to the new drug policy they agreed
to. That's right. He and Molly broke up.
Yeah. Molly. Fuck all you new age people calling it Molly. Shit's called ecstasy.
Oh.
And that's probably going to get cut.
Back in my day.
Used to be, when you take this pill, they'd call it ecstasy. Nowadays, some crazy crack whore called Miley Cyrus comes up and calls it Molly, and you got no choice.
Who's that?
Now, while you're rubbing up against somebody, Miley Cyrus is fucking your wife. I'm going to let peer pressure get her better of me. Because we said last week that we'd keep picking Seattle until they lost, so we don't have to pick them anymore. But they're home. Fuck. And the way that they treated Denver in the Super Bowl. Football is a game about matchups. I'm going to go with Seattle.
Oh, giving up, Bob. But you understand what the point spread is, right?
Yes. And I also saw what they did to Green
After
Bay.
After last week, you wouldn't know for sure.
Damon, explain it to the listeners.
Point spread?
Yes.
You either plus or minus. You're either getting points or you're giving points.
It's kind of like a golf handicap.
So if the X's are plus 5 against the Y's, what does that mean?
That the Y's have to win by more than 5 points for you to collect on the bet.
We're trying to help the 14-year-olds that are listening to the podcast understand how to bet when they turn 18.
Unfortunately, though, I know for sure the 14-year-old listener we have, I think, knows a little bit about gambling.
That's pretty fucked up.
Hi, Luke. You can bleep out this name. I'm going to go ahead and take Seattle. I don't know. I know Seattle, they're not totally unbeatable at home, but...
Yeah, somebody tell...
I wish... If they'd have won last week, I think I probably would have picked Denver. I know it's stupid reasoning, but...
Okay, yeah.
Reason I'm going to go with. All right, so our next game. The Pittsburgh Steelers coming off a loss. Pretty big loss on Thursday night, but they do have some extra time to prepare for this game. At the Carolina Panthers.
Ugh.
We're 2-0, and the Carolina is favored by 3.5.
Carolina is favored by 3.5?
Favored by 3.5, so they're minus 3.5.
The Steelers look like crap.
The Steelers' offensive line has been shit for 3-4 years.
They are crap. Man, I mean, but they're playing in Pittsburgh?
No, it's in Carolina.
I'm going to take Carolina.
I'm going to go with the Carolina Hardys.
Y'all are both
Hopefully they're the non-Hardys.
Did Cam Newton get hurt?
He played.
He didn't play week one.
Yeah, he played last week.
Okay, I'm going to stay with Carolina.
Yeah, as much as I want Carolina to lose, I'll stick with them. And you know what? Fuck, if I lose this, pick them in Pittsburgh. Into the game.
You don't lose any ground. We all took them.
Well, there you go. And now our shitty game of the week.
Here we go.
Each of these teams actually has a win, but there's just a lot of games this week were kind of good team, bad team, didn't really fit the shitty category, but I think this one still kind of does. The Dallas Cowboys at the St. Louis Rams. Dallas is favored by one. On the road, playing in a dome, you got, I think, Austin is quarterback in St. Louis right now.
Somebody Austin.
Hey, look, they went down and beat Tampa. And Dallas coming off a pretty impressive win in Tennessee.
Yeah, but can they do it 2 weeks in a row?
I'll go first on this one. I'm going to actually take Dallas. I think they're going to win the game by more than one, apparently.
How do they win by less than one?
Well, yeah. I mean, they could win by one, and then we get a tie. So, worst case.
Yeah.
I'm going to go Dallas also. They look decent against Tennessee, who's not a terrible team, and they're on the road outside. So
Dallas is an average team.
Yeah, and St. Louis, I mean, with that quarterback, they're going to be struggling. Again, they beat Tampa Bay, but...
Screw it. You know what? Fuck it. I'll go with St. Louis.
I'm going St. Louis. I'm going St. Louis because I think they're going to blitz so much that Tony Romo throws four interceptions. He was so pissed off after that game that he threw his helmet and it was intercepted.
So the next segment, final segment, is Saints Preview.
I didn't go to either preseason game, so I haven't been in the dome since December.
Oh.
So I'm ready.
I'm going to read a tweet from at David LaRoe, or at Dallaroe, the A LaRoe. He tweeted us this today that he just listened to the podcast from earlier in the week, and he asked us, didn't Carolina start 0-4 last year?
I don't know if it was 0-4. I think they started 1-3. We had a 4 or 5 game lead going into October in the division. We didn't win the division.
So I think that's his point.
Look, the season is far from over. If you looked at some of the stats, I don't know. The Saints have scored on half of their drives. That's leading
the
NFL.
Good.
Yeah. You know, we lost two games on the road with last-minute, field goals. All right, we didn't get blown out like Seattle did at San Diego or like, the shit Atlanta Falcons did in Cincinnati. I'd rather lose a game by 2 points in a close game, than get blown out like the Falcons. It hurts, like I think I said last week, because we had bought the hype. Man, we wanted 2009 again. We wanted, 13-0 and 14, 15 points victories. But that doesn't happen in the NFL. Even last year with Seattle, they won. We remember the Super Bowl that was a blowout, but they won a lot of close games. No, this season's not over. Of course, we did a reaction right out of the game, right after the game, where we were dejected and hurt, But I'm not giving up on this team.
I still think the message that we sent in that podcast was not to give up. I mean, we finished the whole thing with a beautiful song.
Yeah. No, yeah.
Yeah. Very fitting.
Okay, so what's going to happen this week?
Well, the good thing is we're at home. We always play better in the dome. Matt Cassel played like shit. He's not a good quarterback. No Adrian Peterson would definitely help. They do have some playmakers on offense. I mean, this is it. Like Damon said last week, if we go 0-3, we're fucked.
Look, you've got three teams that are 2-0. You've got four or five teams that are 0-2, and everybody else is 1-1. Who would have thought the 49ers would be 1-1 or the Seahawks? Leading that division are the fucking Cardinals.
With fucking Drew Stanton playing quarterback.
Exactly. Which makes me feel so much better about the Saints, by the way.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a crying shame that if Philadelphia would have lost last night,
oh yeah, oh,
it would have been perfect, you know. And they were losing, and they managed to come back. Let me say, Darren Sproles hasn't lost a step in fantastic.
Well, for now in week two,
right? Well, and you know what? Also, Malcolm Jenkins has more interceptions than the entire Saints defense.
Well, Jenkins and Harper both have interceptions this year, and that's just. No, fuck you, buddy.
You know.
I'm not your
well,
buddy guy.
That's their one for the season. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, good point.
You know.
Anyway, look, Sean Payton 0-2 with those glasses.
Yeah, glasses gotta go.
You think he still wears them in game three?
He needs to get fucking LASIX. Be done with it.
Right, dude, you're a fucking millionaire NFL coach.
But also, I don't know if y'all guys saw this today, and we kind of got off the subject here, but continuing their quest to be the Saints North, because of Lombardi, Bush, Bell, Kadeus, and Collins.
Detroit
tried out Garrett Hartley today.
Good. Please sign it. Go ahead, sign.
So I just think it's funny how many ex-Saints have wind up on their roster and staff.
But anyway, the Saints game Sunday. At this point, we got to think Peterson's not going to play. So their big weapon we got to look out for is going to be Cordell Patterson. Hopefully we can just line up Keenan on him all day, and they'll pick on Corey White and P. Rob if he's even out there.
Yeah. Well,
I mean, Jean Baptiste has to dress out this week, right?
I hope so.
I know
he's got
to
start. What are you talking about?
I mean, he has to suit up.
Yeah. Look, the good thing is we know our offense is going to be a lot better in the dome. All right. So Minnesota's going to have to put up 38 plus points to beat.
I just sprayed lemonade all over the fucking kitchen. Hold on.
Nice. That's Dome Patrol tradition. At 2 hours in the morning.
Here's the question: Are you eating fish?
No, I haven't gotten.
It'd be a lot cooler.
I got no snacks.
All right. What else?
Fried fish. I'm an idiot.
Wait. Finish chewing and then say it.
No, I can't because I'm eating fried fish.
Fried fish?
I mean fried fish. How about that, bitch? I mean fried fish.
Are you eating fried fish?
Yep, I mean fried fish. What the fuck is going on?
You're eating fried fish.
I mean fried fish, bitch.
Stop.
Oh my god.
Just stop. That is the cold open right there.
What am I doing?
I think we just found our cold open.
I mean fried fish, bitch.
Okay, I just put it out all out of my mouth. I mean, I was eating fried fish. There was some good fish. But I was eating it. No, I'm not. I had to spit it out just because. God damn it, that was some fried fish. I'm a little more hammered than I thought I was.
So I think, yeah, I mean, Patterson's the one guy we got to stop. And hope to God, if Peterson doesn't play and if Castle should suck, like, we should... I mean, God, we got to get a fucking turnover here and there somewhere and get the crowd.
Well, the crowd will be loud. We're going to, you know, I'm optimistic. I think we'll beat this team pretty handedly, despite our
past.
Well, I was wrong.
Jesus Christ.
This time we're in the dome.
Hey, stop bringing up last week, Jeff. We're moving on.
Oh,
this time
sorry,
we're
Cam
in the dome.
Don't live in the past.
Right.
You know, I'm going to predict the score. I'm going to say it's a 42-17 game.
Hey, look, he predicted a fucking 40 burger last week.
No, the first.
Didn't quite work out.
Yeah, I'm going to
go. Even said 40 burger.
I'm going to still say it's a shootout. I don't think the defense works everything out as long as P-Rob's on the field. Minnesota's got a chance. So I'm going to go 35-31 Saints.
I'm going to go with 38-27. Like, it's just, it's enough of a lead and a win, but it's not enough to make you not worry.
All right, Greg.
Look, I've been sending y'all my scores, and I've been sending you my prediction every week, and they've sucked. So I'm going to try to make amends. I think the Saints are going to win this, let's say 35-21. I think we're going to do it handily. It won't be in the last couple of minutes, which has been our problem in the past.
Yeah.
I think we're going to do it. I think the crowd's going to get behind them, and I think they're going to make it happen.
Going to feed off that energy. So I am going to dispense with the final thoughts only in the interest of time. But that is all the show we have for you right now. We're going to thank our loyal listeners for downloading each week and for telling all of your friends about the Dome Patrol podcast. Check us out on Facebook if you dare. We're Dome Patrol Podcast. We're also on Twitter at Dome Patrol PCast. So if you don't listen to us on iTunes, you can listen to us on the internet at Dome Patrol Podcast. Say bye-bye, donkeys.
Bye-bye, hot weather donkeys.
Good night, Hoodat Nation.
Fuck the Ravens.